Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hey, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, best in new inventory with great warranties. Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. Terrific service department that backs it up. From the routine to the difficult, they handle it all with relative ease. At Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf online, sunburymotors.com. Need to clean up the end of basketball games. Let me give you a couple of examples here. Miami played Wake Forest in a game. Final 22 seconds. Took 4 minutes and 10 seconds to complete. Reviews, timeouts. The final 1:51. Again, final 1 minute 51 seconds of the North Carolina State-Virginia game on the ACC network took 10 minutes and 25 seconds. Really? Oh, and by the way, with 7.4 seconds to go in that game, 3 consecutive timeouts were called. Really? Come on. Play ball. We'll get to Lane Kiffin in a moment. Then there's this story. Obviously, Philadelphia sports fans not thrilled after the Eagles were beaten by Tampa Bay. A 94-1 WIP. Okay. Chuck from Mount Airy called into the show. Okay. Jack Fritz was filling in for Marks and Reese. And, of course, he was talking, went on an epic rant about Philadelphia sports. I'm trying to think if we've had anybody on the show like that lately. Todd's thinking.
Actually, Todd was chuckling without his microphone on.
Eventually, Chuck from Mount Airy got around to talking about the Eagles. And Fritz interrupted him. Ew, don't want to do that. Notice how you and I clear the runway. Right? And Chuck said, quote, "You sit there and you run your freaking mouth." When Fritz told the caller to stop being a baby, that's when Chuck let him have it and told him to shut the blank up, using the big F word. Okay.
I hope Jack was near the dump punt. Or the producer was.
The comment halted the discussion right there. The station disconnected the call. And Jack Fritz said, "All right, Chuck, why don't you take a chill pill? We do not know, I don't know, if the F-bomb made it over the airwaves. But Chuck from Mount Airy may have been speaking for a lot of Eagles fans and Philadelphia fans in general. At a 3-2 lead in the National League Championship Series against the Diamondbacks, lost at home before that intimidating crowd. Then, of course, the Eagles had a great collapse down the stretch in which Arizona overcame the intimidating crowd and had the ball for 39 minutes. One angry Philadelphia fan threw a bucket of popcorn at the head of Nick Sirianni." Chuck in Mount Airy. I can hear Matt Cotrillo now. Chuck represents us, all of us.
Okay.
He was the hero Matt didn't know he needed.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. I always appreciate the passion of fans. Now, it doesn't mean they're right about everything. Okay? So let's start with that. You can be passionate, but not right. Or take it too far. How about that? And part of it not being completely right about something also happens to do with the fact that the only part you see is the game. And I get that, because that's the only part you can evaluate is the game. And anytime you bring up something, they'll say, you're making an excuse. No, I just have more information to operate with than you do because you're around it more. And if you were sitting in my chair, you'd see what I was talking about. You know what I mean? Something like that. That doesn't mean the fans talking about what they saw. Totally get it. And if there's some perspective to it, you try to lend it because you've got maybe a little more information to operate with than they do. Not always, but sometimes you do. Now, Chuck from Mount Airy was pretty much watching the same stuff, by the way, that the fan was, because I doubt, with all due respect to Jack Fritz, he's around the team all that often. I mean, I doubt that as a studio host. You don't usually get out there that often. And that's just because it's the nature of the job. That's not meant to be a criticism. It is meant to give you perspective. I mean, how often do they get out there? And the but yeah, that's a tense exchange.
Oh boy.
Now, Lane Kiffin. It has almost become, to me, somewhat comical to hear people talk about, especially down south, about the Alabama transfer portal situation. Oh, wait, this is really unfair, blah, 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 blah. Hey, yo, whoa, okay? I didn't hear you piping in about something being unfair when it happened at other schools, okay? Now, there is a big difference. The difference is when other schools make a change, it normally is necessitated because of poor record. And it's also a combination of maybe not the greatest personnel, which led to the poor record. So they're not really on campus hunting down your players. Okay. Now, some of them, because, you know, every team has good players. Just, you know, the really good ones have a multitude of them. But you have, right now, a situation where you're allowed, and I think, again, this is the lack of common sense by the NCAA. I hate this rule. Can't stand it. Where you can recruit on another team's campus for players if they're in the transfer portal. Like, no. Okay, here's one for you. Okay. Go to the Buffalo Wild Wings, okay? Sit down, right? And talk to them there. You know, pick a spot to, but not on campus. And it's allowed. So, in other words, Lane Kiffin is not, breaking any rules. And in the least, you're allowed to do it. But he's on campus yesterday. He's at Bryant-Denny Stadium, the whole thing, because there's so many Alabama players going into the transfer portal. And, okay. But I remember when Penn State went through this in 2012. And there's two parts to the rule. You were allowed to transfer at that point from Penn State because of the sanctions and be eligible to play right away, so you didn't have to sit out. And here's the part that people always miss on, and I don't blame them. It's our job to inform you of that. It's not your job. And they were not only allowed to transfer right away, I think almost everybody knows that, and be eligible right away, but instead of having 85, say you got three Penn State players, you could play with 88. It didn't count against your 85. Well, when that came up, there were recruiters all over this campus. Everywhere. Everywhere you turned, you saw somebody else's jacket out there. Right? And I'll never forget the Illinois scenario, which I think most people know this story. They had as many as six people here. And Bill O'Brien was going to make a trip to the ESPN to do what they referred to as the car wash. And he leaves Lash Building, and he goes out, and he sees all these Illinois guys, you know, shirts, bags, things like that, outside the building. He's like, what the heck? And, of course, not just Illinois, but other schools were following players to their classes. They were following them to their dorms or their apartments. And finally, the players took sanctuary in the weight room and didn't want to come out. They didn't want to be bothered by it. Now, and even though that's a different situation, you have a situation now, for example, at Alabama, you got people on campus right now trying to get them to make moves. And it's like, okay. Oh, this is unfair. No, it's not unfair. It's happening all across the country. It just turns out you don't have Nick Saban any longer, and Kalen DeBoer is trying to re-recruit his own guys, you know, or at least guys that he inherited. And that's, again, that's a rule I don't like. I don't think another team's coaches, unless invited, right? Hey, Lane Kiffin, I'd love to tour your facilities. Hey, why don't you come on over next Friday? We'll give you a tour of the facility. Sure. You know, I mean, that happens all the time. That's not a problem. And I just, you know. That's a rule that, I'm sorry, doesn't make any sense to me, that you can go on somebody else's campus and recruit transfer portal players. It's legal. I don't like it, though.
Somebody made the point today that Alabama, Washington, and Arizona right now are all losing players and really have no way to replace anybody or figure out really what's going on until the next transfer portal in April.
Exactly. That's right.
That seems to be a bit unfair on that side as well.
But it's the timing of the people that were let go. There's a domino effect to this, because Nick Saban retired, it affected three programs.
And they also said, yeah, that was the basis of the story, is how Nick Saban's retirement affected all these schools. And at the bottom of it, they said, just wait if Jim Harbaugh makes a decision and it's open season on Michigan, too.
Yeah. They've got enough guys. Michigan has six returning starters. I think that's the number. Washington only has two. Amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. I know at least one offensive lineman's in.
Yeah.
One of the returners.
And, I mean, we'll see what he wants to do. We'll see what Jim Harbaugh wants to do. I mean, who knows? It's his call. Michigan has made its appeal to him, but it's so many rules with the NCAA that just just don't meet the common sense test. Another coach should not be allowed to go on somebody else's campus unless they're invited. I mean, your campus should be, at least in terms of a professional ranks, a professional sanctuary. Now, you step 1 foot off the campus, I mean, they can talk to you all you want. But, yeah.
I now have an image of everybody standing on College Ave waiting for the kids to step off campus at Penn State.
Well, they're all over this campus following the class into their apartments in 2012. Right? And you know, the Illinois thing really stuck with Bill O'Brien. If Bill O'Brien could have scored 100 that day in Champaign, he would have. They won 35-7. But Mike Motti, every time Motti made a play, it's the best game Mike played. Mike was phenomenal that day, including that 99-yard interception. But Motti was everywhere, special teams, defense. I mean, it was just a brilliant performance by Mike. And he'd look over at that sideline at Tim Beckman. Sometimes he'd glare at him, and sometimes he'd point at him. Because that's the kind of hard feelings that came about by what they did. And Illinois ended up only getting one player from Penn State in all that. And I remember Brian Barnhart, who does a great job as their play-by-play guy. He says, Brian called me up. He says, Steve, let me ask you. He says, how good's this guy? And I said, Brian, I don't think he's ever going to play for you. He says, really? He says, that's the odd part about it. I said, you guys came on campus in mass. I said, you got a guy? And I said, I don't think he's going to play for you. And he didn't. Just the way it is. But that part just doesn't make sense to me. It just doesn't.
And you know, you made a joke about going to Buffalo Wild Wings, but I don't see why that is a rule. I mean, there's plenty of places that they could go.
Right.
And you know, they not only for the kids, you got to think the coaches draw attention, and you know, that starts something for them too.
Yeah, I mean, there's just a lot of stuff. It's part of the I don't get why all the silly rules. And that's one of those, like doesn't it, quote, make sense to do it this way? And you're like, oh, boy. So, it's, oh, well. But Alabama fans are, of course, up in arms about all this. Well, they can be up in arms all they want, but, welcome to the rest of the world. You know?
I was just going to say, everybody else has been dealing with this for about 5 years now.
Yeah, I mean, now it's finally your turn. They rarely lose anybody at the transfer portal for reasons we all respect. All right? And they get a couple guys here and there, like Gibbs for the Detroit Lions. And they got him out of the transfer portal from Georgia Tech. Turned out to be a great move for him.
Aren't both Lions from Alabama on the transfer portal? Wasn't Jameson Williams at Ohio State first?
Yes, he was. Jameson Williams played against Penn State when he was at Ohio State. And then he transferred to Alabama. But, yeah. This is terrible. It's like, okay, well, imagine how the rest of the country feels. So you finally get to feel how everybody else feels. All right, great. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Yep, interesting times. Seems like every time you turn around, there's another interesting story. Why is Lane Kiffin at Bryant-Denny Stadium? Well, not because he's there for a job. Nope. He's there recruiting. And let's give Lane Kiffin credit. You have to have the ability to work certain things. He works the transfer portal extensively, and he works it better than anybody. Now, is it always going to work? No. I mean, it's not always going to work. And you're going to get it, you know, if you can get, let's say, 2 out of 3 to work, it's a pretty good percentage. And they finally won 11 games this year. And he works that at least from 30,000 feet, it seems like he works that with more effort than the four-year recruiting process. Now, for all we know, he does both, but he's had a lot of success in the transfer portal. That's why he's there. He knows there's a lot of talent there. Not a little, a lot.
And, you know, with what they have already have, they've put themselves in position to be one of the 12 teams next year, too.
Could be. I mean, we'll see. They've got a shot at it. Remember, Texas and Oklahoma are now a part of the mix. I have not seen the Ole Miss schedule. I did not take a look at it. So I don't know if they have Texas or Oklahoma on there, who they have.
I keep forgetting that all those teams come in next year in the SEC and the Big Ten and the Big, well, I guess the Big 12's all, oh no, the Big 12 gets Arizona and stuff too.
Arizona, Utah, Arizona State, Colorado.
Experience.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory. With the Sunbury Motors Guarantee, great service department that backs it up every step of the way. At Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Cam McCormick. Who is Cam McCormick? He is a tight end at the University of Miami. He is coming back for his ninth season of college eligibility. That is not a misstatement. Nine. He began his career at Oregon in 2016. He missed big parts of four different seasons because of injuries. He had a redshirt year. There's a COVID year. So he goes after a ninth year of eligibility. Now remember, Talia Tungavaiola was told, no, you can't play a six-year, man. Played five games 1 year. You can't do it. Okay. Well, Cam McCormick gets a ninth year. He actually came out of Bend, Oregon. He was a three-star prospect. He was part of a recruiting class in 2016 that included Justin Herbert, Nick Bosa, Ed Oliver, Rashawn Gary, Jalen Hurts. All of them are long into the NFL. He broke his leg in 2018. Now, he redshirted as a true freshman. Then he played in 13 games in his redshirt freshman season. But he broke his leg in 2018. There was complications of that that cost him the 2019 and 2020 seasons. He then got a foot injury 2 weeks into the 21 season. He was granted a sixth year of eligibility. Then, of course, the COVID season got figured in as well. He played a full season in 22. He got the Capital One Orange Bowl Football Writers of America Courage Award for his perseverance, played in 13 games. Got an eighth and ninth year of eligibility for 23 before transferring to Miami, where he was reunited with Mario Cristobal. The ninth year was approved by the ACC. And McCormick says his goal is to play in the NFL. You know, you insert joke here. I like to play in the NFL before I'm 30. No, I'm just kidding.
I was just going to say, won't he be too old?
Yeah, exactly. He says, this gives me my best shot. He acknowledged that some critics have suggested he should not still be playing, but he isn't going to cut short what people wants to be cut short by what people are saying. Never do that. Never do that. Okay? Who cares what some critic says? I mean, really. If the critic were any good at it, they'd be doing it themselves. Okay? All right? I feel like my journey can help those that have to experience that. It's tough, but hopefully there's some inspiration there, and guys who get injured can see my journey and dig deep within and keep pushing toward their goals and future. All right. Now, again, four injury seasons, a redshirt season, It just all cobbles together into a ninth season of eligibility. Wow. That's at least an interesting story. But, you know, and there'll be critics. They're critics of everything. Right? I mean, the suit has critics. It's just online he works hard and deletes all of them. In fact, he spends most of his day doing that.
I was going to say, I have a friend that went to college for 9 years, but it wasn't because of football eligibility.
Oh, boy, that's a different story. Yes. I'm sure that's an interesting one. Yeah. But, yeah, that's... I mean, there's certain things that you can be critical about. And, like, you know, I was critical in the first part of the show about, hey, you know, why not move the team meeting? Because you gave Shiloh and Shador Sanders permission to go to work on the runway at the Paris fashion show. There's no problem with them doing that, okay? But when you have a team meeting schedule, isn't it supposed to be, quote, a team meeting? And what does that do to everybody else in the room when they look around and say, hey, wait a minute. Where are the two sons? Why are they getting treated differently? And a natural reaction, by the way. Ninth year, you know what? Everybody said yes. Miami said yes. ACC said yes. NCAA said yes. Okay. So there you go.
In a vacuum, I don't have a problem with the decision, but you just look at some of the other things they've done in eligibility, like the North Carolina receiver who went back to
Tez Walker, yeah.
Yeah, where they make those decisions and you have to fight to let those kids play, but you know he automatically gets his ninth year.
And you know what? You make a great point because you go back to the Walker thing, right? Because of COVID. The team he was playing for canceled its season. So he went to Kent State. Okay. The NCAA fought North Carolina on this. I give Mac Brown a lot of credit. He fought and kept, you know, when I say fought, he did it publicly. He put a lot of pressure on them. And he was right, in my opinion. He was right. But when and then you got this situation where, like, it's a ninth year. Okay, I'm happy he got his ninth year, but why does he get his ninth year and you gave this guy a hard time? There's a lot of things with these guys don't add up on the NCAA level. There's no you know how we talk about with players? What's a word I use all the time when talking about players as they're trying to work their way into the lineup? What kind of consistency on the positive side can they get to get themselves in the lineup? Consistency is a big part. I see guys make plays in practice, and then all of a sudden, then they'll make two in a row. You're like, oh, boy, that's what's holding you back. Okay, happens. Well, that's the problem with the NCAA. Their lack of consistency... They make decisions, and they all don't line up. Okay. They don't line up. All right, we have a winter weather advisory now.
It's like 1 to 3 inches, but it's for like over 20 hours or something like that. So it doesn't sound like it's going to snow super hard.
It says here, urgent. That's always an interesting start. Cameron, Northern Clinton, Northern Center, Southern Center, Blair, Huntington, Mifflin, Juniata, Bedford, Fulton, Franklin, Southern Clinton, Union, Snyder, Perry, Dauphin, Schuylkill, Lebanon, Cumberland, Adams, York, Lancaster. All right?
That's including, everybody, I think.
Yeah. It says, including Emporium, Renovo, Phillipsburg State College, Altoona, Huntington, Mount Union, Lewistown, Mifflin Town, Bedford, McConnellsburg, Chambersburg, Lock Haven, Lewisburg, Sealands Grove, Newport, Harrisburg, Hershey, Pottsville, Lebanon, Carlisle, Gettysburg, York, and Lancaster. At least they left Philadelphia out. All right. Winter weather advisory in effect between 1 a.m. and 10 p.m. tomorrow. So covering 21 hours. What? I always love that. What? Snow expected. Good start. Total snow accumulations 3 to 4 inches with locally higher amounts on the hilltops. As you sit there on the hilltop at the radio station.
I was going to say, I live on a little bit of a hilltop too, so.
Yeah. Where? Portions of central Pennsylvania. Didn't we just run that down?
That Portions is doing a lot of work. That seemed like all of central Pennsylvania.
When? 1 a.m. to 10 p.m. Already did that part. Impacts. Plan on slippery road conditions. That's why they call it snow. The hazardous conditions will impact morning commute all over the region and perhaps the evening commute in the lower Susquehanna Valley.
Sounds like I might have my third take your daughter to work day of the week.
Yeah. Yeah, we were talking earlier about a lot of 1 to 3. Now, that one's saying 3 to 4. Okay. I don't know. All right. We'll see. Oh, well. At least the rest of the weekend's nice. I mean, it's sunny on Sunday. Upper 20s. Heat wave.
I think we might hit 40 Tuesday, next Tuesday, so.
Sacrilege.
Shorts.
Yeah, shorts. Yeah. I can see that. That's why I try to discourage the suit. Nah, it's really cold out. Hey, but it's July. It's cold. But I wanted to wear shorts. It's cold. Okay. Oh, goodness gracious. All right. So. Yeah, so that's the old forecast there as to what we have. That's the National Weather Service, by the way, that put out that alert. Yeah. Other than that, sounds really good, doesn't it?
I was going to say, it's been a weather week.
Yeah, at least we didn't get a foot.
Yeah.
I mean, at least we didn't get a foot. And in the end, that's okay. I can live with that. Because I didn't need to do that. Mike Rhodes asked me. He says, "You shovel?" I said, "Yeah, I shoveled a couple times." I said, then he looked over. I said, "But then again, I shovel it for a living."
Yeah. Well.
Jeff Zinn, the men's tennis coach, and Mike Rhodes will be the guest tonight on the coaches show. No coaching movement today so far, except for Mike Tomlin joking that he's in a better mood today. And in fact, he expects an extension. And, you know, a lot of people were wondering what was going to happen with him. He is now the longest tenured coach in the NFL. Now, he walked out of the post-game press conference when he was asked a question about his future. Had a season-ending press conference today, said, quote, "I expect to be back, and I would imagine that those contract things are going to run their course. Art," that's Art Rooney II, "and I have a really good, transparent relationship. We communicate continually, often. I don't imagine it's going to be an issue, and I imagine it's going to get done in a timely manner at the appropriate time, but my mindset is to coach his football team." He also explained his walk-off. "I certainly could have handled that situation better than I did," Tomlin said. "I also have to say this. I just believe there's a time and a place for everything, and post-game press conferences are probably not the best place to address contract issues and things of that nature. It's just a very individual thing, and on game day, I doubt any of us are on that mindset. I'm certainly not." Okay, so let's get to two parts of that. One, is it proper to ask a coach a question about his future or a player about their future in a post game? Yes. For the coach or the player that's asked, right, all the emotions of just playing the game are raw. They're not thinking about that at that point. So they're entitled to be a little like, "Oh, no, not right now." Like Jason Kelce the other night, he got asked. It's proper to ask, but he's like, "Hey, well, hey, everybody hold off. Just I need some time here to make up his own mind."
I've always been taught in that situation that's probably one of the last questions you ask, just so everybody gets everything else they need, unless in case the reaction is like Mike Tomlin's reaction was, and they're not very happy about the question.
Well, that's okay. In Tampa this week, Todd Bowles was asked about preparing for the cold weather of Detroit. And he very politely said, well, I think we're okay. We'll be playing in a dome. All right. He says, the only time it's going to get cold for us is when we have to exit the bus to go into the building. Because Ford Field is not one of those dome stadiums where you can pull the bus in. You can, for example, when you go to Jerry World, you can pull the bus into the building. When you go to Atlanta, Mercedes-Benz, you have to get off the bus outside, go in. Same story with Ford Field. You have to get off the bus and then go in. Some places you can drive it right in. But Ford Field's not one of them. I'm not going to say who asked the question. That's not fair. But it's one of those that when you're sitting at or standing at a press conference, you cringe when you hear that question. Like, how do you not know if you're covering the NFL that Detroit plays indoors? I mean, Detroit has not played outdoors in decades. Last time they played outdoors was at Old Tiger Stadium.
They did say that the station that the woman worked for has no sports staffers, and she was a news staffer.
Then don't ask any questions.
I'm not arguing that point of it.
Okay. You can take all the video and then bring it back to the station. Okay? Don't ask. All right? I'm not a sports staffer. I'm a news person. Okay. Two words for you. Lay low. There's a lot of other sports individuals in the room that can ask those questions. Right?
Yes.
Hey. Yeah. So. Oh, well.
Todd Bowles handled it well.
Oh, no. He could not have been nicer. He could not have been nicer. I mean, it says, I remember when Penn State in the mid-80s, I think it was 84, they played a neutral site game at the Meadowlands against Texas. And Texas won the game 28-7. It's one of the few times where, in talking to Joe before a game, you know, because I was part of doing the pregame show back then because I was the third announcer. And we asked him about practice, and he was talking about how they're ready to go. They're all set, and they lost 28-7. That's like a handful of times in decades where I was like, geez, you know, we said, boy, you didn't read that one right. You know what I mean? And going into that game, they're going to play Texas. He got asked about how to handle the wishbone. And Joe looked at the reporter and said, well, they stopped running the wishbone about 8-9 years ago. He said, they're just a standard. I just answered the question matter-of-factly. It was like, as soon as it was asked, you're like, oh, that's not what they run. Daryl Royal's gone. Daryl Royal ran that, and then Fred Akers, when he came in and replaced him, he went, you know, went to the eye. I was like, oh, really? Okay. Take a break, wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, great to have you with us on the show today. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia. Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf online, sunburymotors.com. And Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory with great warranties. Fabulous pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee. Terrific service department that backs it up every step of the way. Routine, difficult, they handle it all with great technicians. Pros, all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Adam Rittenberg on the show tomorrow. The King tomorrow in our playoff picks for the weekend. Do you have any idea how you did last weekend? Or?
Not. I know I picked the Texans, and I know I picked the Rams, so I got 1-1 of my upsets. I think I picked the winners in the rest of them, but I don't remember.
Yeah, that one, I'm trying to remember. I picked the Lions, and I know I picked Tampa Bay.
Yes, I picked the Eagles.
No, I also picked the Cowboys for some bizarre reason, even though, remember my quote? I really like the Packers a lot, but...
Yeah.
Oh, idiot.
You think after all these years we'd learn to not pick the Cowboys in the playoffs?
Oh. And I'm not related to Jerry Jones.
You're not that Stephen Jones.
No.